BlogTalkRadio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you WrestleTalk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid Peter Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
It's kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Kenny Omega.
We are the power!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network as we just got done with our yearly equivalent to Wrestling Prison Rape, TNA's Lockdown pay-per-view event. I hope you all feel violated tonight. Anyway, there's good news and bad news. The bad news, of course, is we had to sit through a TNA pay-per-view, but the good news is there's no Tim Stein tonight. So it is just me, the Omega, the be-all, end-all, the WTR Network leading the way, and joining me in the suffering is Mace.
I need to get drunk, so very, very drunk.
And Spug.
I'm playing Mahjong.
Thought I was mocked the last time I said I was playing Mahjong.
Failing, but I'm playing Mahjong anyway.
You play Mahjong! Play now! Play now!
Oh, no, let's not go there tonight.
Stein says, all you can eat buffet, now you eat all! You go home now!
God.
Heck.
Oh, God. We're really gonna go there tonight.
Oh, we're going lots of places tonight.
Oh, we're going lots of places, I know.
Primarily because we're forced to.
Yeah, you can tell we are putting this off as long as we can get away with.
Can we just run it down real quick and get on to, you know,
what I what I wanted to do is I wanted to break this down and just have everyone vote on their reaction to this pay-per-view, either Cornette face or Swagger face. There are no other options, by the way.
I'm going to go Swagger face.
Going Swagger face?
Yeah.
I'll vote Cornette face.
I gotta go Swagger face. It's, you know, usually okay. Lockdown's at least a little tolerable this year. Good lord.
Alright, see, I caught the pay-per-view at about, from the Lawn Cutters Express on. And my only question is that was like the last, what, four matches?
Mm.
And, every match except for Hernandez Morgan that I saw had a run-in in it. Do you need that many run-ins in a show?
Seriously? World title match had a run-in that had absolutely no point or business. You had, what, three run-ins on Angle and Jarrett?
Yeah, three.
God.
Three run-ins?
Then you had, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You had the jobber, you had the pumped-up steroid freak, and then you had the bitch that cost Kurt Angle the match.
Right.
Then there was your main event, which was 8-man with a run-in.
8-man with a run-in.
But that run...
8-man weren't enough.
That was the only run-in that made sense.
I know. Kind of ironic that way.
It was the only thing that did make sense on that entire friggin' show.
God. Here, I pay absolutely no attention to TNA Impact these days. Why was he out of this match?
AJ?
Yeah, what was the excuse?
Supposedly he was hurt, fractured spine or something.
Fractured spines don't heal that fast.
Don't ask.
Just go with it.
I didn't ask. You shouldn't either.
Just take a hit from Rob Van Dam's pipe and just go with the storylines.
But he threw away the pipe tonight. It's the one time he's ever thrown away a pipe.
That's actually amusing hearing that from you, being an RVD fan.
Hey! Okay. The guy partakes. I'm not a fan of it, but you know what? He's extremely intelligent about it, so I do not begrudge him for it. And, you know, I've interviewed him, so, you know. Do we really want to start anywhere? I guess we have to start with the escape match.
We could just run down the winners and losers and get the hell out of this. Cause
everyone lost, Spug. Nobody won tonight. Except Eric Bischoff, who didn't even have to get dressed to come out. Okay, so
actually, Eric Bischoff not getting dressed fits in with the theme of tonight's show, which was to show asses.
Oh God, yeah. What the fuck?
I don't know. I guess that's being edgy and not PG.
If Eric Young if he was still wrestling the Super Eric gimmick, I would understand stripping down all of a sudden. You know, in the absence of a phone booth. But what the fuck? Oh God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to know about it.
Did we finally get our wish and Charlie Sheen is starting the book TNA?
You know what the worst thing about Eric Young suddenly stripping down? His tag partner is Orlando Jordan. We have to remember this.
And how many times would Eric had to have practiced that in front of Orlando Jordan backstage?
Oh God. Yeah, I don't think these tearaway trunks are really all that working. Can you try it again?
Slower.
I wasn't quite sure where they were going for that match in the first place. Eric is back to being the bumbling idiot, apparently, because he tries to escape from a match where there is no escape rule.
I think he just wanted off the pay-per-view.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I know, that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, with
price tickets. That's all I have to say about lockdown.
They could have given them away for free, and I still wouldn't have bothered.
Yeah, I think your 3 hours of time is too expensive for this pay-per-view. No. Someone tell me, our escape match with like half of the entire X Division roster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the fuck happened in the finale to this? The ref gets bumped into the cage, and apparently the steel cage, which isn't one of those, you know, rickety chain link fence cages, gets hit hard enough to shake somebody off of the cage.
Don't ask.
I have questions, though.
You're asking questions to which there are no answers.
Can't help it. I feel like I'm going to have an aneurysm if these keep floating through my head.
To quote my dear friend Mace, sense, motherfucker, do you make it? Apparently TNA does not.
And Omega, if you feel like you're going to have an aneurysm because of that, I think vow of non-drinking.
Don't worry, if I suddenly have an aneurysm, I'll make sure the camera's rolling for it.
Hooray!
Could you imagine the YouTube hits?
Live aneurysm on the air.
Our dear friend may be dying, and all we're worried about is the YouTube hits. Awesome.
How does the cage shake? And there's so many running. And
we're more concerned about the YouTube hits on this than your welfare and well-being.
Hey, look, he's bleeding from the eyes, favorite.
Aren't we great people?
Yeah, but you got to remember that the hits to the video would bring in more revenue for Omega.
Bring in more revenue than this pay-per-view did.
Touché, sir, touché.
TNA Knockout Championship. Apparently every title can now be won in less than 30 seconds on TNA.
Yes, but as Will said, do we really need to watch a Madison Rain match?
This is a good point. I'll give him that one. I don't know. It's rare what I've said. Like, what you would think after the Jeff Hardy thing, TNA would know that if they've booked themselves into a corner, they would have a backup plan for this kind of thing. You know, like, run in, change the stipulation, add someone who can actually wrestle and keep Mickey out of it. I mean, they basically forced it, so, okay, Mickey's, what, shoulder injury at a house show?
Something like that.
Something like that. So, oh god, we can't make her lose now. Okay, she has a country career. We can't, I say career. Seen American Idol, you know, potentials who have bigger careers.
But you gotta remember, this is TNA. Their plan for this type of situation is 30 second match.
Yeah, get it over with. We'll have Bischoff cut really shit promos. Or we'll have Scott Steiner cut a really shit promo that no one understands.
No, that's just Scott
Steiner
cutting a
promo.
Understood
that promo.
Okay.
Just saying.
It's a nice, but that is the fun thing about a Scott Steiner promo. It's kind of like playing Where's Waldo with your ears. Can you find an intelligible word? Can you find the point he's trying to make?
Generally,
no, I gotta flip the answers in the back. Where was I? Okay, Samoa Joe versus the Pope. I didn't get to see this. Did this act, it's freaking Samoa Joe. Could he at least carry this motherfucker?
Spug wins Mahjong! Yay!
Okay, I take it back. Someone has won tonight. Spug has won Mahjong.
Spug is winning.
Okay.
And I get fireworks when I win Mahjong. That's kind of cool. Yay.
Chinese game, you know?
I feel like I'm at WrestleMania. Oh.
Welcome to Mahjong Talk Live.
See, what you need to do is match the two of cats with another two of cats. Usually found somewhere around the turtle's anus.
Winning.
Yes!
There we go.
Charlie Sheen. Thank you, Charlie.
So anyway. Drew Carey's like little new improv show the other night.
Did you get booed on that?
Actually, no, I actually didn't listen to it because I was afraid of the trainer.
Okay, people who are listening to the stream of this show, this should tell you how much we cared about lockdown tonight. I'm playing Mahjong and we're referencing Charlie Sheen and Drew Carey. If you want to know what the fuck happened, go to a website and find the results.
Okay,
a shit show.
Think back to our opinion on Drew Carey being inducted into the Hall of Fame and realize I would rather bring up Drew Carey than TNA Lockdown. Just for perspective.
For real.
Okay, Matt Morgan and Hernandez. The fuck? Did this do anything?
Not for me. I mean,
what happened to Hernandez? What happened to Hernandez? And what happened to these two being the next two big things in TNA?
They're definitely big. You could call them things. I
big,
suppose.
Yeah, but I could swear they used to be talented too.
That's also a very valid point, sir.
This match did do something for me. Gave me an excuse to go make lunch.
Can't argue that.
I think that the worst part about it is Like, a 5-year-old could book TNA properly, right? I mean, we're sitting there and we're talking in the chat and we're sitting there like, why is there another run-in? Why is there another run-in? What just happened?
Yeah.
Why is he running out? What the? Why is Hogan at ringside with a steel pipe? Like, they didn't make sense.
I know. You could play a drinking game to how many Russo finishes were in that 2 out of 3 falls match.
It's not even the Russo finishes, man. It's like, all right, an indie show, and Mace and I can both attest to this. At an indie show, Mace, on average, how many run-ins during a 3-hour show are there? If you're at an actual promotion that runs on a consistent basis and has some amount of storyline.
Maybe one a month, one every 2 months. Depends on what you need to keep the storyline going.
Right. You don't have 3 or 4 or even 5 run-ins in one show. It's just bad booking and bad overall thought process.
Well, it's lazy booking above all. It's basically saying, I can't think of an interesting ending with just these two guys. Let's have 6 people try to interfere and fuck things over.
Well, what it does is it says, oh, well, these two guys can't get the storyline over. We have to have people involved to get it over for them. It does. Because
I know it does.
When you think about it, like, the Angle Jarrett match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great match. Absolutely phenomenal match. Horrible ending. Atrocious ending. Did you really need Karen Angle to come out?
No.
Did you really need Gunnar Murphy to come out?
Hell no.
Did you really need Scott Steiner to come out?
Hell fucking no.
Okay, so what was the point of having any one of those 3 out there and you couldn't let Jarrett and Angle, 2 former NWA World Heavyweight Champions, 2 former champions of your company, they don't have the ability to finish a storyline or the match on their own? Like, it makes no sense.
Can't argue with it. Can't argue
with it. So does this mean Jeff Jarrett comes out on Impact next week and says to Kurt Angle, I want you at Lockdown next year?
Ugh.
Ugh. No. That's booking a dream match, not a nightmare.
The thing is, I want to see something. Like, this whole... It's probably going to be Hogan and Sting next week or next month at the June pay-per-view, which is what, Bound for Glory? Or that's October.
I've lost track.
What is June? Turning Point, Victory, Slammiversary. Okay. So, it's probably going to be Hogan and Sting at Slammiversary. If I'm in the area of where that pay-per-view is, why do I want to pop my money down to go see Hogan Sting when I know it's going to be an extremely limited match? Because we all know Hogan can't do half the shit that he used to be able to do. Why am I going to go watch 10 minutes of Sting protected Hogan?
No clue. Rather spend money on going seeing Micro Championship Wrestling?
I might go see the midget wrestling.
Might.
I might.
Spoke's going to be sitting front row with a sign that says, I love little people.
It all depends on what I'm doing that night, to be quite honest with you. I think I have a show to wrestle that night. I'm not sure. It's just, wow, I'm making sense about TNA. It scares me. And playing Mahjong.
See, this is called thought process. This is what the show was lacking tonight.
It's what every TNA show lacks, dude.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Not disagreeing.
Why am I defending TNA?
I don't. Because they have such potential, but they don't do anything with it.
I think deep down,
we really want TNA to be really good because we want WWE to have that competition looming. But they don't do anything to make to make something out of what they've got.
I will give you. I will give you that. We want the competition between WWE and TNA. I will give you that. The thing that I don't understand, and I guess what really boggles my mind, is that you have Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo and Hogan there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Russo was only good when he had a filter. When he had Vince's filter. I mean, since he left WWE and went to WCW in the late 90s, early 2000s, we've seen what a train wreck he actually is.
Right.
Okay. Bischoff single-handedly in the mid-90s brought about a revolutionary change in the wrestling industry. And made the product better for it. We have Hogan, probably one of the most influential individuals wrestling has ever seen. Professional wrestling has ever seen. And among the three of them, they don't have a brain between them right now. They have the money and the ability to do great things with that company. And you can't do it. First of all, to be quite honest, TNA is never going to prosper and become something while it's on Spike TV. All Spike TV cares about is UFC money. As long as the UFC money's running in, they don't give a shit. TNA can do whatever the hell they want. That's all they care about is the UFC money.
Right, right.
So, they continually offer up products like we got at Lockdown tonight, and I actually thought about going to the show. I mean, Cincinnati's only a 4-hour drive away. I gave half a thought of going to the show. Especially when I saw tickets for what they were.
Yeah, not expensive to go to a TNA show.
No! No, and my sister lives down there in Cincinnati. I probably could have stayed there and left real early in the morning and made my way back up here and gone to work. But that didn't really make any sense, and I couldn't really be bothered to go. Now, had it been like a WWE pay-per-view that for some reason the tickets were real cheap like that, I might have gone. I might have made the drive down to Cincinnati and gone. I guess it just bothers me that a product with so much potential and guys like Anderson and RVD and Hernandez and Morgan, who can be the cornerstones of your company, they're just floundering away and fucking it all up.
Right. Yeah, I think like if people hear us week after week after week constantly bitching about TNA, okay, why the fuck do you even cover it if you don't like it that much, or if you know, what's even the point? It's because we really do want them to do good.
Right.
You know, we get upset over it because we know they're capable of so much more than this.
Right.
It is. I mean, it's frustration not out of just how bad the quality is. It's how good the quality could be.
I think the worst part is, like, you know, you watch, for example, I go back to that angle match, right?
Right.
That angle match was phenomenal. Those two really put on a good show, and you can tell the genuine hatred between them. I mean, you really can. And you have the two wrestling this phenomenal match and getting it over with the crowd. And I think the crowd was the hottest that I've heard them during that match. And they're getting the match over. It's a phenomenal match. And then all of a sudden, Gunnar Murphy comes out. And you're like, what the fuck's the point of this?
Yeah.
Right? And then the next thing you know, out comes Karen Angle. Or Scott Steiner. And he's there to chase off Gunnar. Okay, I can kind of understand that. But then, you know, just then Karen Angle comes out. You're like, why. You know, it just, it, there was no sense to it. And Spug wins at Mahjong again.
Okay, for those of you wanting the market down, that's two wins the Spug for Mahjong tonight. We'll keep you updated as the show progresses.
More fireworks!
He's like an excited little two-year-old.
You want to talk about excited children? I taught my daughter how to do a hurricanrana today.
What?
Yeah, I did.
God.
She can be the next Sinketa.
She's going to have a broken neck by the time she's 10.
Hey, you want to talk about broken necks? My wife's not really feeling good. I think she's got the flu or something. So mm-hmm. I ran her a hot bath and threw some bath beads in there for her. And I hear from my bedroom, "Daddy, watch this." And so I walk into the bedroom and I look, and my daughter is standing up on our heater, which is right next to the window. And she does this jump off of our heater onto my bed, and it flips in midair. And doesn't land on her back, but so much her shoulders and the back of her head.
Ah.
And gets up at me and goes, "How is that, Daddy?" And I'm like, "Oof." I was like, "Try again, honey, but try to land on your back." So she does it again, and instead of landing on her back, lands on the top of her head.
Ah.
And I was like, no, stop. Just stop before you kill yourself.
Speaking of broken necks, I thought Angle managed it twice in his match tonight.
Dude, for real?
Top rope power bomb, and he flips under Jarrett?
That's worse than the Brock Lesnar screwed up shooting star press.
Well, Jarrett nearly spiked his ass through the canvas.
If
he flipped under any slower, he would have gone straight down, head first.
Hey, Omega. Mm-hmm. You know, we're coming up on the end of the first segment in the break.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to talk TNA anymore.
All right, so here it is. Here it is real quick. Your first match, your X Division escape match.
Uh-huh.
Your winner, Max Buck, new number one contender X Division title.
Uh-huh.
Pointless Bischoff promo, pointless Steiner promo, Ink versus British Invasion versus Steiner and Crimson versus Eric Young and Orlando Jordan. Winner, Ink. TNA knockout title. Quicker match than last month's main event, winner Mickey James. Morgan promo, Samoa Joe versus the Pope, Samoa Joe wins. Lawn Cutters United, Matt Morgan versus Hernandez, winner Matt Morgan. Velvet Sky beats up the Lawn Cutter Chicks. Kurt Angle versus Jarrett. 2 out of 3 falls. Jarrett wins. TNA World Title. Sting versus Kurt Angle versus RVD. Sting wins. Lethal Lockdown. Immortal are your winner. Or Fortune are your winners. Via an AJ run-in. And that is the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I called it right. It was Daniels and Hardy going up for the suicide spot of the day.
Yes. So that's your TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. We're going to go to break. Yeah. We come back. We're going to
the Universal F, by the way.
Right. We come back from break, we're going to get into Edge retiring and a bunch of other shit with WWE. Be right back on Wrestle Talk Radio right after this. Listen, you want a class on tradition or one condition? Forget the best of the century. Talk about the best of all time, you better mention me. Essentially, I'm the best that's ever gonna be. I hold my ground, you never take it from under me. Don't run to me, it's gonna be trouble. I hit you so many times, you see triple or double instead of one of me. I got more heart, more ways to tear you apart. I lay you down early on, or maybe in the later round. It's no different to me.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality works for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As that music has indicated, it's time to talk Edge, who Monday night came out and out of nowhere announced his retirement. Apparently, after WrestleMania, got an MRI done, basically showed that if he were to take another bump to his neck, he could potentially be paralyzed for the rest of his life. So, I don't know, did this just... It's really hard for me to figure out what to say here, because it happens so suddenly.
The shitty thing is like, he had more to offer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like we knew for a while now that he intended to retire within the next year, but you figure he still had a good run in him. Because he's still very athletic. I mean, his match at WrestleMania, nothing wrong with it physically.
Right. I guess what kind of miffs me about it is that wouldn't he have known a while ago that he needed to retire? I mean, I'm not saying that it's a work by any stretch of the imagination.
No, no. As far as this has gone, no.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a work by any stretch of the imagination, but I do kind of think that maybe, just maybe he held on maybe a little bit longer than he should have.
Well, it sounds like he had gotten checked out before WrestleMania, but went to get more at the WWE's insistence, which, thank you, WWE, thank you, Wellness Policy, for actually watching out for these things before they happened.
Right.
Where's the swerve? I'm waiting for the swerve. Where's the storyline?
There isn't one in this case, buddy.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Mace.
God,
this is really it.
No shit, that was my reaction on Monday. I'm sitting there waiting for Alberto Del Rio to come out. And it's like, oh yeah, this big goof, blah, blah, blah. Nope. I even got a hold of an early release copy of SmackDown. And
I saw that too.
It had the whole, you know, big goodbye at the end, which never actually made it onto television.
They did post on WWE.com, though, so you got to see one last 5-second pose. You got to see his real send-off where the locker room came out to applaud him. Triple H came out to hug him in the ring.
I have to ask this. Is this a common occurrence at every retirement now that Triple H is going to come out and hug somebody? For Christ's sakes, dude.
Well, I think it means a little bit now that he's in a corporate position, you know, as much as, hey, it's been nice working with you, as much as, hey, thank you for what you've done for this company and this business kind of thing. It's almost like an official corporate capacity now.
Who's going to come out and hug Triple H when Triple H retires?
Oh, he's going to clone himself.
Stephanie.
He's going to clone himself and have the clone come out and hug him?
Exactly.
Wow. Thanks.
It'd be like the Attitude Era. It'll come out to his original music.
Oh, by the same band who did the DX theme?
Yeah.
Which everybody thinks that's Rage Against the Machine, and it's not.
You know, circa 1997, Triple H coming out with the leather jacket with the denim vest over it.
1, 2, is this on? You'll hit me with a little bit of that Triple H.
Worst thing ever happened to that theme was giving it to Stephanie.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That was actually a really good theme, too.
Yeah. Anyway, the guy that retired, by the way.
Yeah. I kind of sit here in awe. Because, first of all, I still think Edge is a little bit of a scumbag, to be quite honest with you.
Of course he is. He did thank Lita, after all.
Well, it's not that, but, like, going back to the whole Edge, Lita, Matt Hardy thing, that was real life that was played out on television, you know, that they took and turned into a storyline. And I just kind of think he's a bit of a scumbag for fucking his best friend's girl. You know? I mean, yeah, he's a guy after all, but still. How big of a dickhead do you have to be to fuck your best friend's girl when he's at home rehabbing an injury?
Yeah.
Now I wonder if you're willing to say that to the likes of, you know, Mike Knox and Batista, because they fucked Melina behind John Morrison's back.
I would say that to them, too.
And then run.
Dude, I've never liked Batista.
You can say to his clone.
I think Batista's going to get his ass knocked out first time he steps into a legitimate MMA ring. And not an amateur fight.
So how long before we see Edge in TNA? I couldn't have given a straight face for that.
Dude, I was sitting in a wrestling chat room today. And I kid you not. There were people talking about how about how Edge was going to show up on TNA tonight. He was going to show up in Cincinnati tonight and wrestle in the world title match.
Bullshit.
Dude, I was laughing.
He was made for life in the WWE. What fucking mindset would you ever think that?
Edge could have done nothing for the rest of his career in WWE, and he would have gotten paid. Paid?
He probably will still get paid.
Oh, I think he's going to stick around the company in some sort of backstage capacity.
He'll be in the backstage capacity for a while. I want to
be their promotional bitch.
Could be. I'd like to see him as a manager.
Yeah, that was my thought. Just because he has a personality for it.
Right.
Ultimate opportunist. I mean, the gimmick even works for the managerial role.
What if he becomes the general manager on Raw?
No, that wouldn't work because he was the first one laying in on that computer.
Right. But still, I mean, what if they make him the actual general manager on Raw? I think he'd do well at it.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah.
Could you imagine if he did become the GM of Raw? And he had to explain beating the crap out of the computer. He goes straight for the, I was just beating myself, jerk. He'd have no qualms about doing it.
They won't let me have the live sex celebration, so I had to beat myself.
I just, it's kind of sad to see him go. But then again, this destroys SmackDown. You realize that, right?
Oh yeah. SmackDown, that show has been terminal since Lesnar left. Cause they kept leaning on stars who, like, okay, let's lean on, who was it after
Cena
that?
Cena was there for a long while.
Cena went back for a little while. He wasn't really the huge star they were leaning on at the time, but you always had, it was either The Undertaker or Eddie or,
Batista.
Yeah, right. Batista for a while. For years now, SmackDown has just leaned on one star to carry the show, and for the longest time, that's been Edge. You know, he said it on Friday night. That was his show, and he wasn't kidding. That's been the Edge show for, the last few years. Rightfully so, too, because he's been the best one on the roster.
You know, I think at this point, what they really need to do is consider ending their stupid little brand split. You think about it. Both
aren't they getting ready for a draft soon?
Well, both Josh Matthews and Cole are on Raw most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your SmackDown stars show up on Raw from time to time anyway. To end this notion that they're two separate entities, really need to quit. Unite the titles, go back to the days when SmackDown was still taped, and it aired on Thursdays or aired on Friday, whenever you want to do it, and you just tape SmackDown you can still tape it on Tuesday nights. Have your champions show up. Book SmackDown in the same general vicinity as Raw. You know? If you have, say, Raw's run in Cleveland, right?
Right.
Book SmackDown in Columbus for Tuesday. It's a 2-hour drive. It's a 30-minute flight.
The only real reason they keep the brand split is just because it's easier on the superstars. That's essentially the only reason to keep it around at any point, because SmackDown,
so everybody gets a paycheck.
Oh, run Friday to Tuesday, or you run Saturday to Tuesday, right? So you're off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you're out again on Saturday. And most individuals aren't even working that. Most individuals aren't even doing that. It's not that hard.
Are you including the house show circuit?
It really depends. Because the majority of your house shows are Saturday and Sunday. Some on Friday. So you're going to have guys that are probably pulling a long week, but the majority of those guys are going to be your younger guys who are trying to build themselves up. I mean, with Edge gone, Undertaker probably retiring next year. I wouldn't be surprised if Undertaker retired next year because he just can't do it anymore. You have those two guys gone. If you do not get somebody or get a crop of talent to SmackDown to at least keep that show at water level, you know, there's no reason to have it. There's no reason to have that show.
And that leads into one of the bigger problems they have right now. What do you do with the world title now that your number one star is gone?
You either have a multi-individual match to unify it, or you do what nobody wanted you to do at Mania and put it on Del Rio.
Or you pity the best friend of the guy who's retiring and give him a title run.
Yeah, see, look, that... I hate to say it's a pity thing, but it would be a better storyline to give it to Christian and let Del Rio continue to chase it. I mean, I keep harping on it, but it's true. This Del Rio is still only on his second feud in his career in the WWE. He's never held a championship. He's never had to carry himself as a champion. He's not ready.
Sheamus didn't hold a title.
He's not ready.
Sheamus wasn't ready, but Sheamus got ready in a hurry after he held it. I'm not saying that Christian is undeserving. I'm not. But the problem with Christian holding the belt is it goes back to what happened after Eddie passed away. They immediately gave Ray the Royal Rumble win and the title win at WrestleMania. And it set back the business a couple of years by doing it. Because, let's face it, Rey Mysterio is not world heavyweight title material. He's not.
But I would argue the Christian is.
No,
he's
I'm not.
The most under- he, yeah.
Dude, I'm not saying he isn't. I'm not saying he isn't at all, Omega.
I know, but, you know, I hate that it has to be this way, but it seems like some of the guys who'd really deserve a push only happens when they absolutely have to. I mean, right now, Christian, far more experienced, has, you know, he has far more championship experience than Del Rio. If you're gonna, and keep in mind, it's on SmackDown where they really don't have any top faces right now that could hold the world title, could feud.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why I don't think it'll go to Christian in any capacity, is that with Christian, I think they kind of undervalue his talent. I mean, look, the guy had to go to TNA to prove that he was a draw. And he did it very well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they just kind of underutilized him and shoved him on the back burner. In WWE, they don't let him talk. They don't. I mean, I've heard a few promos, but they really don't let him talk the way he can.
True.
The guy's gold on the mic, but they don't let him. And so that really kind of diminishes his capacity.
He has gotten something of a shot lately, though, since in order to keep Del Rio and Edge apart, Del Rio's mostly been feuding with Christian for the last month.
No. Look, I guess you misunderstand a little bit. I'm not saying that Christian shouldn't get it because he's well deserving of a run with it. The problem is that that the up-and-comer that they're trying to push and they're trying to make the next big heel and get that connection with an entire new demographic is Del Rio. And so, unfortunately for Christian, the title is more than likely going to go around Del Rio's waist, whether he's ready for it or not.
It just doesn't seem like a smart move. And yeah, I admit I'm a Christian mark, and everyone in the show is very familiar with the fact I'm not exactly a fan of Del Rio. But just something in my head says it makes more sense to give the title to Christian at a time when the fans are even though it is, it's just a retirement. It's not like he died, but the fans are still.
Don't say that out loud. You never know what could happen.
One of those bleed escapees might kick in.
You know, the thing with Christian, and Mace is being awful quiet, I'm going to slap him if he stays this way. The thing with Christian and what I guess is extremely unfortunate is the backlash from the fan base that and I'm not talking the internet smart marks. I mean the wrestling fan base as a whole that WWE got for putting the title on Rey. I mean, because we can all admit that they got a severe backlash for that.
And no matter where they put it, they could give it to Christian, they could give it to Del Rio, they could give it to, you know, the little Mexican dude that follows Del Rio around. There's going to be backlash. Oh, you know, if they put it on Christian, they're going to go, oh, he's only getting it because Edge retired. Same thing would be said about Del Rio. They're going to get backlash no matter who they put it on.
They might as well put it on
somebody. And they're still going, hoo, hoo, hoo. But there's not really a direction you can go from this situation that's going to end up making people, like, happy all over the place. Because, you know, you can't make everybody happy 100% of the time. Personally, I'd like to see Christian get it now that he's actually able to move out from Edge's shadow.
Title swap. You know how you fix this? Title swap. At the draft, you have the World Heavyweight Championship come over to Raw, and you have the WWE title go over to SmackDown.
So you'd be putting The Miz on SmackDown, and let's say if you're going to do it that way, you might as well put it on Del Rio and send him the Raw?
I don't think you send The Miz to SmackDown.
Well, you have The Miz drop the title to Cena, have Cena go to SmackDown.
I think more than likely you're going to see Triple H go back to SmackDown.
Because as Paul Heyman said, Triple H only works Tuesdays.
the only reason that JBL was champion for a year is because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays.
That's right. That's right.
Got to remember your Heyman promos.
Yeah, I could see Triple H going back to SmackDown. I'm not really sure though. Like, a title swap fixes this for the simple fact of let's just say Miz, Punk, and gotta put another baby face over there.
Who?
You put Orton?
I would say Orton, you kinda need to break up the thing. I'm more likely to move someone who could potentially be there since SmackDown is kinda where the mid-carders actually get a chance to win a world title.
Right.
I'd move a Morrison there.
Okay. Alright, so we'll say Morrison and Punk go to SmackDown. Right? And The Miz moves by default. It's say he retains against John Cena. And Miz moves by default. So your world title comes over to Raw. Or or you have Miz drop the WWE title to Cena, so your world, we'll just say your WWE title stays on Raw, your world title's on SmackDown. Forget the title swap. Now you have Miz, Morrison, Punk, Del Rio, Christian, and potentially Barrett, who could all be chasing it. That solves it right there, because then you have individuals who have no ties to Edge whatsoever, be it storyline or personal, who have the chance of becoming champion.
No, I'm still in favor of Christian. I mean, it does bolster SmackDown in a way that it's going to need to badly. And honestly, right now, if Triple H is going to have one more run, it does need to be on SmackDown, so they have a little bit of a draw and some star power on the show.
Right.
But it really is. I mean, here we are. We're going to go into Extreme Rules, and what if, you know, and someone is going to be elevated. I mean, someone is going to break through the top card. It's either going to be the new guy, who really I don't think is a gimmick that can carry a world title the way, just especially, you know, not only not being ready, I just think with that kind of gimmick, it's better to give him something to chase. You know, since this is the man who owns
the same gimmick JBL had.
I know it's the same gimmick JBL had.
It's the same gimmick that Ted DiBiase had.
Yeah, but Ted DiBiase made that exciting by paying for it.
The thing,
he never really earned a belt until he made his own.
Yeah, he was only a tag champ.
Yeah, the only other time he ever had anything was when he paid somebody for it. Well, that's what made Ted DiBiase's gimmick good.
Yeah,
the thing with DiBiase that made DiBiase what he was is that there was one thing he couldn't buy, and that was the WWE title. That was the one thing he couldn't buy throughout his entire career.
He bought it off Andre, which led to the events of WrestleMania 4?
Right. Right. Remember, he got stripped of it. And then you had JBL, who, I mean, he was a really good gimmick. It was a more modernized version of DiBiase. But you have Del Rio, who is sort of a conglomeration of the two. The only problem with Del Rio's gimmick is that Del Rio comes off as being insincere about his gimmick. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're saying, and hate to use the pun, we're not buying it.
Right, right. Like I know, if you do a little bit of research into Alberto Del Rio, you find out who his father is and who his uncle is. They're two extremely influential individuals in Mexican wrestling and legends in the wrestling business. Dos Caras, and then oh my god, I forgot his uncle for a minute. Anyway,
Mil Máscaras.
Yeah, Mil Máscaras is his uncle. So, you know, two extremely influential individuals in the world of wrestling. I've seen Del Rio in Pride. He fought as Dos Caras in Pride. They had to get the rules changed so that he can continue to fight with his mask. I've seen him fight. He's not that bad of an MMA fighter, although he did get knocked out by Crow Cop in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, but that's Crow Cop.
But again, yeah, it's Crow Cop. The thing with Del Rio is if they let him, I think he could be a much better babyface than he could be a heel. Like, I really think Del Rio could be like sort of this, like, if it sounds horrible to say, but like Mexican revolutionary who is, you know, fighting for the people. You know what I mean? Sort of like Rock was in the late 90s, where he was doing it for the people. He was the people's champion. I think Del Rio could be something along those lines as far as a really good babyface. It's just they want to try and make him a heel, and it's not working.
Why is it that when I think of the whole, you know, he's a revolutionary, he can be for the people, all of a sudden we have Generalissimo Del Rio and he comes out looking like Fidel Castro?
Oof. Oof. Oh, no.
I'm sorry, that's what I saw when Spug made the mention. I'm like,
no bueno.
No bueno.
I'm sorry, somebody's going to make the bad jokes since Tim's not here.
Oof.
Have I killed this topic and we can move on?
Yeah, do I have a...
I hate you, Mace.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we're gonna move on.
We're supposed to have a break, but why don't we get to our favorite Edge memories real quick before we break?
Yeah, because we were supposed to talk about two other things before we went to the next break. So, okay,
we're fine.
Favorite Edge moments.
I think one of mine was definitely the spear on Jeff Hardy at WrestleMania 17.
Oh, off the ladder?
Uh-huh. And then, God. I'm trying to think of another really good one.
Well, yeah, there's obvious ones. I mean, like, you know, you've got the spear to Foley into the flaming table.
That was a good one too, but like I thought his entire feud with Foley was extremely well done. Cuz especially you got Foley sitting there yelling at him, "You want to be hardcore." And, you know, Foley's missing half of his ear and teeth.
Right. As soon as we found out Edge was retiring, I went to YouTube and I looked up every 5-second pose I could find. that was such a good way to rile the crowd up. They come out in the hometown's jersey, and then one of them would pull it off, and you know, it'd be the rival's jersey underneath.
I've always been a big fan of his entrances. From his early days where he would come out of the crowd and, you know, the camera would be panning around everywhere because they didn't know where he was coming from. You know, then the whole coming up through the floor thing with the Brood and all the way up to his current entrance that just really gets a crowd pumped. He always knew how to make an entrance.
I have a mission for you, Rock. Get us Edge.
talk about the impossible.
Talk about, yeah, really.
Jeez.
Really. Talk about the impossible. It is getting Edge. But everyone said Shawn Michaels was impossible.
We got Shawn Michaels.
Got Shawn Michaels. This is true.
Get us Edge.
I told him for years to get me RVD's phone number. Guess what I actually have tucked away in a drawer right now.
Look, you catch Rock at the right time, you can get a lot of real good phone numbers. Isn't that right, Mr. Bischoff?
Yeah.
Guess his phone number, I know.
Rock won't give me phone numbers.
Oh, no.
He knows better.
Yeah, we know. We've heard the ideas you've come up with when you do get phone numbers.
Oh, I still may do that one after all. Just to fuck with somebody. Not sure yet.
Do it with Edge's phone number.
No.
Yeah, can we rig a caller ID?
I have an app on my phone that I can call two different numbers from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, say I had your cell phone number, Rock, and I had Omega's cell phone number, I can put them into this app, and it'll call you both simultaneously, and it'll make it look like you're calling Omega, and Omega's calling you. But I'm the one that dialed it.
Yeah.
That's all sorts of levels of evil.
I know, I've done it,
too.
You have
to find a way to use this. Anyway, shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah, it's break time here.
Before we end up in court yet again.
Before we create more evidence. You're listening to WTR. Up next, the language of the WWE and Tough Enough for the week. So stay with us. We are coming right back after this.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Me versus Triple H. I mean, what the heck's his problem? I thought we could be friends.
Yeah, he's the game, all right, if the game's pinned the tail on the two-faced Rikazoid.
I mean, I don't even have time to change. This was supposed to be my night off.
Kurt, don't worry about it. It's real simple. You take care of Triple H. Kick the snot out of his never-ending nose, and then afterwards, we'll all have cake.
Yeah, cake rocks the body that rocks the party. Come on, Kurt, man, cheer up. Listen, I'll play your music for you. 2, 3, 4...
Angle. Angle.
Guys.
Cripes on Friday. Would you give me some time alone, please? Please? Please?
Suit yourself, man.
Angle.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Otaku Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, look at this. Kazoos and streamers.
Streamers rule. Yeah. Long live the stream.
Yeah, and long live the zoo. Hey, listen to this. I'm going to play our music.
You think you know me. You think you know me.
Pat Dunne, all right. Get out. Get out. Oh, come on. Relax, man. I can play your music, too. It's my time. It's my
Get out.
Come on. Get out.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team. And you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Some people have to learn. Some people wait their turn. Some people have to fight, Some people give their life.
They want to hold you back, tell them pee off. Whenever they say you can't, take the tee off. I remember when they told me I wouldn't be famous. Now my dream and reality.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, and thank you, Rob, for finding those kazoo clips.
You're welcome.
Thank God YouTube wasn't around. Do you know how many clips there would be of WWE themes played by kazoo on YouTube now?
This is very true, and I have the old school version. They were MP3s and AVI files.
Really?
Yeah, I have the old school version.
Back when you had to go onto a forum and download them through there.
Yeah.
I remember the days when if you could get a 320 by 240 video file, that was amazing.
I know.
And MIDIs.
MIDIs! All the music I need in 54 kilobytes.
Nostalgia.
See, internet.
I remember when phone when ringtones on phones, the big thing was having them as MIDI files.
I used to have one that was exactly like that, but the MIDI files were only allowed as message tones. This was just as MP3s were coming in as ringtones, so I had an MP3 ringtone and a MIDI for my message tone. God, I annoyed people with stuff. It was awesome! Speaking of annoying...
But before we get to that, I want to see if this still works. This is a site. Let's see if it actually works.
Ah!
What the hell was that?
Chris Jarko's music in an MIDI file. That's old school. That's old school.
Sound like a synthesizer having an orgasm.
And it here it is, we were just praising MIDIs in the second one. Once played, it's like, oh my god, my ears! See, these TNA rape our eyes, MIDIs rape our ears. We're fucked either way.
But anyway. Speaking of weird names or things.
Alright. Apparently, you are only allowed to speak a certain way when referring to the WWE from now on.
Retarded?
That's one word for it.
You know what? I don't think it's Vince.
Really?
I don't think it's all Vince, to be quite honest with you, because back before WWE became a publicly traded company, you know, they still had the whole sports entertainment thing, but there were still, you know, wrestlers and wrestling and yada yada. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's shareholders and a board to answer to now, and a lot of them don't understand, you know, that we as a fan base aren't retarded. You know, we aren't necessarily extremely stupid, and that we can differentiate between real wrestling and pro wrestling.
Well, Vince directly stated, "I think every brand has to recreate itself. I want everyone to look at us in a vastly different way than they have. It is a logical broadening of what we already do. No one does television production better than we do. It's damn near the Olympics. We know more about live entertainment touring than anyone in the United States."
Who's this new bitch in media relations that they got?
She's the same chick that when, I think it was when the guy was talking about the Wrestling Hall of Fame, and she said, no, we don't call it wrestling.
Yeah, that bitch.
Yeah, I can't remember.
How long has she been around?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So tell us,
Omega, what are some of these new terms that we're supposed to be using?
Yeah, jeez. I was trying to find it on a different browser, because if I open up this email link, it's going to take me to some website with 1,000 different banners to deal with.
It's called Get Firefox.
I have Firefox, but that's not what the email opens up to, and I can't fucking change it. I was trying to get it to Firefox. Anyway, you are no longer allowed to say wrestling or catch. So apparently in Europe, they still use catch to describe pro wrestling as catchers, which sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
Yeah, wrestling.
As long as they don't have any pitches, it's okay.
Beat me to it. Let's see. I love how there's actually a list here that actually describes how you're supposed to refer to things. You have examples. So wrestling is not broadcast in 125 countries. WWE is broadcast in 125 countries. The term sports is incorrect. It's entertainment or action soap opera. Is anyone geared up for Monday night's action soap opera?
So we can't call it sports entertainment anymore?
Apparently sports entertainment, you know, the thing they've been calling themselves, you know, bullshitty for the last 20 years. Yeah, that's not allowed either.
Wow. I saw the list and I read it and I just kind of shook my head.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I don't think it's entirely Vince. I really don't.
You are right, and they have stockholders, they have board members that they actually have to answer to, and wrestling still has this stigma of, you know, sideshow entertainment, you know, very lowbrow, rednecky kind of show that, you know, it really hasn't broken away from that completely in the mainstream. So you've got you do have to brand yourself in a way that people won't go, you know, turn their nose to any of this.
If they realized how many CEOs and corporate businessmen and women were taking their kids to wrestling shows on any given night.
Yeah. Last I checked, WWE was pulling in the best ratings when it wasn't in denial. See,
they put wrestling on a boat.
Athletes or sportsmen aren't allowed. We're not allowed to call these fuckers athletes anymore. We're also
kinda
not
can't
allowed.
Wait. I kind of can't wait for the day that Vince kicks off now.
We're also not allowed to call them. We're also not allowed to use the word fight. So street fights matches are no longer allowed. Apparently, it has to be a match or a bout.
That I kind of understand. That one I can kind of see. Like that doesn't really necessarily bother me.
Hence the term extreme rules.
Mm-hmm.
They're extreme bouts.
Extreme rules matches.
Yeah. So we're gonna go to extreme rules and have a street bout. Fighting is also not allowed, but the term action is.
I don't necessarily think this is America, by the way.
Here's the funny thing. We're not allowed to call them athletes. Even though what they do is extremely athletic, to the point where the final example they give that this is the language of WWE you're allowed to use, WWE superstars are entertainers with tremendous athletic prowess. We're not allowed to call them athletes, but we're allowed to call them athletic. What the fuck?
Spug, do you know what all this reminds me of? Do you remember an interview that you and I called in on many, many moons ago on OWW Radio with a certain Johnny C?
Oh.
And you know what the weird thing is? In the long run, that fucker has become right.
How so?
You remember how he was explaining that the show Wrestlicious was action comedy, that the girls weren't really wrestlers. They were like akin to entertainers. Every word that fucker said so long ago is now becoming the language of the WWE.
I don't necessarily think, dude, that we're making a bigger deal out of it than it really is.
Yeah. Essentially, this is semantics. It's mostly stuff for corporate and business angles.
Right. I mean, we're making a bigger deal out of it than it really is, and for the most part, I mean, for the most part, they've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this is something that's going to change overnight. This has been going on for a while. With the WWE though, and why I said I don't necessarily think this is for America, is because they mentioned Europe, you know, where they still call them, you know, catchers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that the majority of this is pertaining to countries other than the United States, where professional wrestling isn't looked at as so much of a sideshow circus exhibit as it is here in the United States. I mean, in Japan, Mexico, and Europe, it's a big deal to be a pro wrestler.
Right.
Yeah, especially with them trying to build such a big audience in Mexico.
Right. So I think this more or less pertains to you know, countries outside of the United States than it really does the United States. And the
right.
other thing, when I said I kind of can't wait for the day that Vince kicks off, is that we all know that Stephanie and Triple H are more than likely going to inherit that company when Vince dies.
They're already starting to take over now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, keep in mind, Triple H is the one behind Sin Cara's promos, now behind Awesome Kong's promos, building up someone old school via vignettes before they debut on TV. Worked
right.
great on Sin Cara.
Right. I really think we're going to see a fundamental change back to the way it used to be with the WWE once Vince really doesn't have control anymore and Stephanie and Triple H do.
More so Hunter than Steph.
More so Hunter than Steph.
Why do I see with Triple H in charge, he's going to change the name back to WWF and going to kick a panner in the balls?
I don't necessarily know if he'll do that. But I do think that Triple H has, because he was brought into the business, you know, the old school way, under Killer Kowalski and whatnot. But he does understand the need for television and the media and the outside draw. So I think Triple H has a really good brain for being able to mix them both in a direction where wrestling is not looked at as a sideshow circus act, but as a genuine form of family entertainment, but it still can incorporate the things that the armory crowd likes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like kicking a panda in the balls.
One can only hope that they go back to the WWF. I wish they really would.
Sorry, I just can't get that image out of my head. Like Triple H just walks up, kicks panda in the balls, and then hits it in the head with a sledgehammer.
There's only like four of them left anyway. Fuck them. Just for the record, I am not anti-panda.
Right.
I'll make that very clear.
Are you sure?
Right.
I think Omega hates panda bears.
I think so, too.
I don't hate pandas. You try to tell people I hate pandas and I hate midgets. I have nothing against anybody.
Oh, I think we need to put this out on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh?
Just remember to use the hashtag TJOmega.
We tried that once. It obviously does not work.
We got a few people to tweet about you.
A few, but did I run around naked? No.
Oh, if we can get you to be a world, trending topic on Twitter, it may happen yet.
Jeez, I could be a trending topic on Twitter. I could afford the bail money. Who saw Tough Enough this week?
I saw three quarters of it.
I saw it.
Weird thing was, I unfortunately missed it on Monday because I nodded off just before Raw came on. So, and I went to watch a recording, got like all the way up to just before they started the elimination ceremony. And, like, for 4 or 5 days, completely forgot that I had stopped at that point. It just, like, dawned on me last night. I was like, oh, crap, still don't know who got eliminated.
It was a shocker.
I know. Matt Cross, who's like actually parkour and wrestling experienced.
9 years in the business.
He was one of the best wrestlers on that show. But as I said on OWW Radio on Tuesday when we talked about this, he is one of those individuals where he doesn't know how to take the spotlight for himself.
Right.
He does the same thing in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was a big reason he was cut, was Trish said, okay, you know, here, get in the ring, show me what you got, and he was basically emotionless in there.
You know what actually, well, at least in my opinion, sealed his fate was when Austin's ranting at him, you know, you should have been the guy to step out, you should have been the guy, you should be the alpha dog here, you should be telling everybody what goes on. After that big rant about stepping forward and actually asserting yourself, what does Cross say? Permission to speak. I reckon Austin was willing to let him go until he said that. If you look back on it, look at Austin's, he snapped. You could see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
Austin just lost it.
Yeah, because
that's
the
what did it.
Yeah, the very first thing he says, he goes over to the other guy and says, you know, why'd you take that name Skidmark? Why didn't you tell him to go to hell? And then he goes over to him and it's like, permission to speak? He outright told someone else to be assertive and tell the trainer to go fuck yourself. And then, you know, straight away, the other guy just doesn't even take the hint.
I honestly think that Skidmark kid was probably the one who was going to go home.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking.
I really do, and I think that
Ryan was guaranteed until Cross opened his mouth.
Yeah, Ryan was probably guaranteed to go home until Cross said that.
Yeah.
But I can kind of understand why Cross said what he said. But the thing is, just like I said, that's how Cross is. That's how he is. He can put on fantastic technical matches. He has the charisma of a snail. He really does.
I find snails far more fascinating. Let's put it that way. I have to respect anyone who can carry his house on his back.
Okay, well, then he has the charisma of a blade of grass.
There you go.
The charisma of Lance Storm?
No. It's Lance Storm credit. You want Lance Storm to be boring. Let's face it.
Right.
You want him to be straight-faced, blank slate. Because
right.
It's not Lance otherwise. As interesting as the Usos.
The thing with Ryan, though, is he's going to be out on his ass real quick. Like, I don't see him lasting much longer, to be entirely honest. When Austin said something about his girlfriend, and you'd leave in a heartbeat, wouldn't you, boy? And he gave the spiel about, oh, this is a tremendous opportunity. I'd tell her it'd have to wait.
Austin's turned around and he's gone, bullshit.
Shit. Dude, 15 minutes before, in the middle of the show, they did the little interview with Ryan, and he's talking about, hey, if she wanted me to come home tomorrow, I'd be on the first plane there. So, I mean...
Wrestling business is all about sacrifice. If you're not willing to fucking sacrifice for the business, well, maybe you should reevaluate what you're doing.
That's the big thing. I do like that Austin is trying to get that across, because he knows these guys are being pampered. They don't have to go on the road. You know, they don't sleep 8 people to a tiny hotel room. They don't go, you know, pack 7-8 people into a car to drive to an event. It's pampered as much, you know, it's pampered for the sake of TV, but he is trying to drive home how hard the business is at the same time.
I think what's going to be a real shock, probably, because, you know, I like that they're showing some of the training stuff and that they're doing, you know, some of those individuals that are there have never ever stepped foot in a ring. What I do really like about it is that this kid Ryan is really in for a rude awakening, because they showed it in one of the promos is that he says something he really shouldn't have said to Booker T. And I think Mace saw the same promo where you see Booker T like literally come across the ring as they're like stretching out and get in this Ryan kid's face.
And there was another guy who called out Hugh Morris.
I think that was Luke who did it.
See, that's amusing. That's taking your balls, man.
Yeah, when you call out Bill DeMott, you've got cojones. You've got huevos.
I thought it was Skidmark that was taunting Bill at the end of the dog run.
No, I'm talking much later in the series. This is a promo that's...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't catch that one. Okay.
There's a promo that's running for shows that are later in the season.
This season on Tough Enough.
Right. The Skidmark, he says something. They don't show what he says, but he says something to Booker T, and it's one of those legitimate, you can see the look of anger on Booker T's face.
Booker T's eyes are open so wide that you thought that he was going to sprout spotlights.
Yeah, they beep it too. Like, they beep Booker T. He's like, what the fuck did you say to me? Stand up. And then they cut to a different clip. And I'm going, oh my god, I can't wait to hear what he said to him. I want to see this kid get his face pounded in.
God, I love this. I liked Tough Enough when I first saw it.
Right.
I would argue they're doing a hell of a lot better on this one.
They're doing a really good job. They're doing a really good job with it.
I'm actually looking forward to the Big Show coming out this week, because if you've got an opportunity to have the Big Show in there with those guys, I'm saying to them all, line up, bitches, your cop and chops.
I want to see. The thing is I would like to see what happens when the cameras aren't on. Because I legitimately want to see Eric work with the Big Show. I mean, because we all know Eric's a big dude. He's, what, 6'6 or something like that?
Something, and he's got about another 2 foot in his afro.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big boy. And if anybody can teach Eric on how to work with his size and use it to the best of his ability, it's the Big Show.
Yeah.
For sure, but at the same time, bitches, you cop and chops.
Oh, definitely. Get them in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Pull the shirt over their head, wet the hand down, and slap them right in the chest.
Yeah, it's going to be a round of open hand slaps all around.
But then again, like, the other thing that I'd love to see them do, and it's such a shame that Kurt's no longer in the WWE. Because I'd love to see Kurt Angle come in with these guys and say, okay, guys, I'm going to teach you how to shoot.
I think that you probably have Bill DeMott and Austin kind of teaching them that a little bit.
No, they just stretch them.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
True.
You're telling me that Ryan kid doesn't deserve a good stretching?
Mind you, with all this being said, Spug, you know, as we've said many times, you and I are both trained. Did you ever have to get chased by a dog?
I did not, but I saw the point behind it.
Yeah, that was the weird thing.
So did I, and I want to do it.
Yeah, they would always show you this. They would only show you the clip of the dogs attacking, like, what the fuck does that have to do with wrestling? But the point behind it was dead on.
Well, alright. The last match I wrestled against a guy named Heath Decca. And he's 6'4", 285, barrel-chested, and solid muscle, right? And he came walking through the dressing room door about half an hour to bell time, and I went, oh, shit. I have to work him. And I'm thinking I'm going to get killed in the ring. That it's just, it's going to be a painful 8 minutes. And I tell you what, he was probably one of the gentlest guys I ever worked with. He really was. And, you know, the point behind the exercise was sometimes the thought of the hit is worse than the actual hit.
Right.
And I fully agree with the premise of the exercise. Fully agree with it. I tell you what, though, having him stand in the corner and have Bill DeMott come charging across. Oof.
How Oof. Many of them had brown streaks to wipe up after that? Especially the women.
I'm glad those turnbuckles were tight. How many times you wrestle in a shoddy ring maze and take a corner shot and the rope pops loose?
Oh. Been there, done that. Not a happy
you know
thing.
What I'm- You get hit in the turnbuckle so hard that the actual turnbuckle comes out a little eyelet on the ring post and falls. Oh, that's no bueno.
All right, before we get into the last segments of the night, Mace, there's a couple you wanted to hit on real quick.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Impressions of Kong's first promo. How well did they pull it off, and does it set up Kong the way you think they should?
I didn't see it. I haven't seen it. Is it any good?
Oh, it's good. It's more psychological. It's very creepy.
Let's see if we can find it real quick for Spugta.
Didn't we do this on Wednesday where I had to watch videos live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it was so entertaining then, we're going to do it now.
Yay!
Yeah, skip the news, hurry up. But when Spug hasn't seen a video, oh, hold everything. We can pull it up.
All right. Well, while we wait for Spug to see the video, we'll go. WWE has sent out a survey to fans online with their thoughts on the following new pay-per-view titles: WWE Uprising, WWE Vengeance, WWE Champions, WWE Revolution.
This being current WWE pay-per-view standards, I predict WWE Revolution. All matches take place on a carousel.
Oh, the Triple H photo is horrible. Oh, especially with the blood spray. Really?
Had to.
That's so bad.
Had to.
Poor panda.
That poor panda bear. All right, I'm getting ready to watch the Kong promo.
Yeah, but continue your discussion.
Now I've just got to wonder with these pay-per-view names. Wasn't Vengeance already a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
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 Okay,
that is your, we already have this trademarked, please pick it so we don't have to spend any money choice.
That was the event where Chris Jericho won the first ever Undisputed Championship, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it was a December pay-per-view.
Yeah, because that's the first year they turned it, took it off of Armageddon.
See, and Champions just seems too close to Night of Champions.
Yeah, that seems more like what they changed Night of Champions to, rather than an actual other pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. What a great promo. What a great vignette. What a great vignette. That wall. Bravo. Bravo.
Now, are you saying that because you actually enjoyed the promo, or because your boyfriend made it?
No, it's really good. I mean, you've got Awesome Kong sitting there stroking the hair of this pretty perfect little Barbie doll, and then she just snaps the head off. Think about it. All the women wrestlers in WWE today are these prissy, perfect little Barbie dolls with big, perky, plastic tits. And, you know, some form of perfect hair, and you've got Kong coming in, who's a big girl. is just gonna I love it. Well done. Way to nail the character. Awesome psychology. Bravo.
Now, how long do you think it's going to be before she actually comes out?
About another month, maybe. Maybe Extreme Rules.
Either Extreme Rules or after Extreme Rules, most likely.
The music in the background is creepy as shit, too. The little music box and then her laughing. Oh, so creepy. Yes, I love it.
And just wait till tomorrow, the next promo debuts.
Really?
Most likely, yeah, you would think.
I wonder
I
wonder if he was behind the Undertaker ones that played on the way up to
must
February.
Be. He must be.
They're good. I mean, they're really good.
It's actually building interest in a character. My God.
For real?
We actually care about something.
Oh, no.
Mind you, it's not a wrestler. It's an entertainer.
Rock,
the debut of this entertainer to the action soap opera.
Oh no, what's the challenge, Spug?
I have a challenge for you, by the way.
What's the challenge?
To do that Triple H panda pick better and to turn it into a demotivational poster somehow.
Let's see what I can do.
That is my challenge for you.
Okay.
Because I will make that my desktop background if you can do it.
I'll see what I can do.
Extinction, you don't want to play me.
I like it.
That's good.
With that being said, shall we move on to our...
Great debate. Yeah, let's move on to the great debate.
All right, great debate. Semi-final time. Best entrances ever.
We need to redo this topic one day. There
we,
so
need, we, we need to redo this one.
Can we have Honky Tonk Man on the new version?
No.
No, we cannot.
No, because I don't know how Honky Tonk Man ever named it on there anyway.
This really, especially doing it as many as we do per week, this should have been like a 32 choice bracket, I think.
I'm thinking, you know what? We'll save it. We could finish this now, but what we'll do is, you know how we did Mania Madness last year?
Right.
Is next year when March rolls around, I will come up with a 64 entrant bracket and we can vote on it up until the finals.
Alright.
That works.
And we'll do it along with the March Madness next year. I will come up with a bracket.
Okay, but for now it is time to finish it off. We start with Undertaker versus Gold Dust. Mace, pick.
Are we doing the finals tonight, too?
Yeah, we're doing the finals. So whoever wins tonight, we go to the winners against each other.
Okay.
This one's a given. It's the Undertaker. I'm not going to elaborate.
Bug?
Music, theme, everything. Undertaker. Fuck Gold Dust.
I love the Undertaker's entrance, and I really like Goldust's entrance as well. The problem with Goldust, however, is that his entrances have never really translated to the big event. Like, he's never had his ability, his moment at WrestleMania to really shine. I mean, his one shining moment at WrestleMania is WrestleMania 12 in the Hollywood Brawl with Roddy Piper. So, by default, it goes to Undertaker.
And unfortunately for Goldust, I'm going to have to make it a clean sweep. I love the Goldust intro. I've been a fan of it ever since we started this debate. However, he hasn't had the presence of mind to update it. And the few times he has, it has not gone well.
No.
Undertaker knows how to ramp it up, and he knows when it is due for a change. So, in that sense, I have to go with Taker.
So plus, Undertaker... Goldust got screwed when widescreen television became normal.
Yeah, no more black bars on his intro. So, Undertaker moves to the finals, and we have an opponent for him to decide. It is LOD, the Legion of Doom, versus Shawn Michaels. Spug, you're up first this time.
As great as Shawn Michaels' entrance is at times, I was going back through watching the documentary, the newest documentary on Legion of Doom, last night, and for me, Legion of Doom. I mean, you had WrestleMania 12, and you had WrestleMania 24, or 25, I can't remember which one he came down, you know, on the elevator.
25, I believe.
25. But other than that, I mean, his entrances have been fairly standard. His music plays, he comes out, he does a pose, the pyro hits. LOD, you know, yeah, they have a couple of shining moments as well. But I think with LOD, you hear Hegstrand yell, "Oh, what a rush." And you hear the opening chords of their WWF music, or back in the days of the NWA and the AWA. That's it, right there. Or you heard the opening chords of Iron Man, and you just knew somebody was about to take an ass whooping like they had never taken before. I mean, you just knew. And that, to me, is what makes an entrance great. I mean, Shawn Michaels, when you hear Shawn Michaels, you know it's going to be a good match. You hear the name Shawn Michaels, you know it's going to be a good match. But to me, I can walk away from a television, you know, if I know Shawn Michaels is coming out, because I'm not watching to see him enter the ring. I'm watching to see his in-ring work. With LOD, their entrance was all part of it, man. They came out and you knew, just knew, that somebody was getting ready to get their ass whooped.
So that's one to LOD, and I'm going to put the pressure on Mace because you're going last, because I'm picking Shawn Michaels on this one. I love LOD. I love that entrance, the shoulder pads. I've been a fan of it, and like I've said before, it is literally like it is 80s wrestling to imagine the face paint, the shoulder guards, and all that. The what a rush hit. I would argue, though, Shawn Michaels' entrances usually have a lot of the same merits going the opposite direction. It wasn't the kind of entrance that you say, okay, someone's about to get their ass kicked, someone's about to get demolished in the ring. Shawn would come out, and it wouldn't be the shoulder guards and spikes. It would be the flashy chaps. It would be the
No, they weren't flashy. Get it right. They were assless chaps. They were something that belonged in San Francisco, my friend.
But he came out in ring attire that basically forced you to look at him, pay attention, because it wasn't about, I'm going to show, you know, I'm about to go kick this guy's ass. His entrances was all about, I'm about to go put on a show. I'm going to dance around. I'm going to make you pay attention to me. You know, which is which go into the egotistical route, being the opposite of the intimidation route. And yeah, Shawn Michaels, you know, I've said it in other matches. LOD, yeah, they had a great entrance to it. I just think Shawn's brings such a flair of, it's just such a, like a flair of grandeur to him. Where you know he's a big deal when he comes down to the ring, whether it's by elevator, whether he's zipping down on a line, you know, whether the roof is exploding as soon as he goes into his pose. You know, he's a showman first and foremost, so when he came out to the ring, he was putting on a show as soon as his music hit. And I kind of have to credit him for singing his own theme. I give one bonus point for that. Mace, break the tie.
Alright, before I even start looking into why do both of you bribes are now open. I accept cash, credit card, no personal checks, and no blackmail, Spug.
Let's just remember, Mace, who's shipping you something.
Let's remember who's like going to who's going to feature you in a video.
He can get a video anytime. He's not gonna. He's not gonna.
He's
get
not
a
gonna
game.
Get a video that 10,000 people will see, though.
Yeah, but he's not gonna get a video game that's banned. Just saying.
Dude, that just makes it even harder now. Awesome.
You said it. You brought it on yourself.
I know. I know. And pretty much. My thought process echoes Omega's, and it also echoes Spug's, which is LOD has always been the intimidation factor from the second you hear, oh, what a rush, and then, you know, the music kicks in, and they come down to the ring, you know somebody's going to walk away, probably end up being in a goddamn wheelchair by the end of it. Sorry, draws. But... I said sorry. Come on. I realized the bad. Shut up. I realized the bad joke before I even made it. So shut the fuck up.
Doesn't make it any better. Listen, just because you say "with all due respect" doesn't mean that you can say anything you want.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
So what happens when Tim's not here?
Yeah. Back to your point, though. Who are you picking?
This is the thing. Even before this pressure was put on me, I'm still sitting here going, you know, LOD, from the second they come out, you know somebody's going to get their asses whooped, but... when Shawn Michaels comes out, you know it's all about the flash, it's all about the panaz, it's all about putting on a show. Both of them equal in what they do.
Decisions, decisions, decisions.
I know. And I'm sitting here looking at a stack of coins going, I should just flip a coin.
And we're not even in the finals yet.
I know. I know.
The finals won't be nearly as bad. It'll be like WrestleMania, Undertaker always.
I'm actually going to the coin flip because I can't choose either man my own based on the merits.
I'm sorry.
Head goes to Shawn Michaels. Tails goes to LOD. Coin is going up.
And it stays on its side.
Tails.
Ah!
Damn. So, Legion of Doom moves on.
I am so glad I went to you last, though.
Made for entertainment. So, it's LOD and The Undertaker.
LOD versus The Undertaker. I just go up first and say the obvious Undertaker.
Spunk, say LOD and make Mace choose.
Here's the thing. All right, you know how Mace had a hard time just 5 seconds ago?
All right.
I have a hard time with this one. Like, I really do.
Mace, pick LOD now.
It's Undertaker, Tails, LOD.
Because I legitimately thought that Taker would have been out of this a while ago, and that Hogan would have been in the finals at some point. I really thought Hogan would have made it here. And to be quite honest with you, my vote would have been for Hogan, but...
he's had the same entrance since 1492.
Oh, my God.
Tim was 10.
Tim was 10. I mean, Undertaker has such grand entrances, and you know that somebody's going to get their ass whooped, too. And LOD, you know... The simplicity in their entrance and the simplicity of, you know, we're going to come down to the ring, we're going to whoop your ass, we're going to leave you in a heap, and we're going to walk away. You know, that's part of the spectacle. And with Taker, you have, you know, whether it's a bunch of druids, or he's on the bike, or the somber strings of Johnny Cash, you always knew that when he was coming out, you know, there's something bad's about to happen to somebody.
Right.
And it's just, it's really difficult because both entrances get the point across. Both entrances were very well done by both parties. Shut up, Brock!
But Spug, this should sway you.
Oh, what a rush!
Oh, now that's Black Master's wrong, using his own kids against him.
No, that's stacking. No.
You know, as cute as she is, when she does that, oh, fuck it. I'm gonna go with LOD.
Mace.
Get your coin.
No, well, thank God Spug stopping and stalling actually gave me time to think of why I am making this choice. And it is a very simple one. As much as it takes somebody, as much effort it takes somebody to reinvigorate themselves every few years, to change their gimmick, to change their look, to change their music, it takes even more effort to keep the same style for your entire run. LOD.
Wow.
Can we say an upset?
I hate to say it, but yeah, that's a bit of a underdog entry there. LOD.
Would you stop it? Keep it playing.
LOD, the winner of the great debate, which was flawed from the beginning, and we're gonna have to redo this one.
Yeah, next month.
We are.
Oh well.
It was flawed.
But hey, we had great matchups
starting out, and like we had some real tough choices. The further and further we got into it, the tougher the choices got.
Yeah.
Like, I tell you, when we redo it, we're not going to have points where you guys are going to have to try and bribe me for an answer again.
No, because when we redo it, there's going to be a lot of... There'll be some easy ones, and there'll be some hard ones.
And then by the time we get down to the Final Four, like tonight...
Yeah, when we get down to the Final Four, it's going to be difficult.
But if you think about this... I think this was our greatest Final Four debate we've ever had.
I thought the Mania one we did last year was pretty good.
Yeah.
Although three of the four featured Shawn Michaels at some point.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But anyway, isn't there a certain phrase we should be hearing right about now?
I think it's... Uh-huh.
I think, yeah. Let's end of the show. It's time for the quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And tonight's quick hits come like this. Omega, R-Truth is in the main event of Extreme Rules. Really?
I don't think that's a question. That's more of a statement.
Really? Is he? Your thoughts.
What the fuck are you thinking, WWE? You know what? I know exactly what they're thinking. Trish Stratus just gave John Morrison a bad rub backstage. Because... you know, even the way that match was booked, it looked like, you know, Morrison probably should have been the one that went over. He should have gotten that spot, especially with The Miz being his opponent. But, you gave Trish the cold shoulder. You lost a few points backstage. You know, take your punishment.
Sense, motherfucker, do you make it?
Exactly. Spug, last week, I believe, either Tuesday or Wednesday, was the first... It was like 14 years since the first ever ECW pay-per-view. What is your favorite memory about the first ever ECW pay-per-view?
I don't have one, because I didn't see it, to be quite honest with
really?
You. Yeah, no, I didn't really get on the ECW bandwagon until about 98.
Ah, so you missed it by 1 year.
I missed it by a year. I really didn't get on the ECW bandwagon until 98. But my favorite ECW memory is from Heatwave 99, because I was at that event with my stepbrother, who took me down to Dayton to see it. And watching Taz versus Tajiri in the main event in the title match, and watching Taz walk over to the sign and grab the barbed wire off the sign and lock in the Kata Hajime with barbed wire wrapped around Tajiri's head.
Very, very nice. Alright, Mace, finish this sentence. Sin Cara's television debut match was...
What the fuck?
Elaborate really? On that one.
Okay, reason being, as good and, you know, flippy and fun as Sin Cara was, what the fuck was with Primo botching so much in that match? Seriously, he
had such a...
I'm surprised we haven't seen WWE would like to wish Primo Colon all the best in his future endeavors, and don't you ever fuck up our new stars ever again.
Oh, it'll happen.
I'm sure he got a talking to him backstage.
Michael Hayes reamed him out.
Or Hunter.
I want to take a shot at Mace's question for a second.
Go right ahead.
Because we were sitting there watching, and he came out, and I'm like, oh, honey, you have to watch this. And my wife's like, why? I'm like, if he climbs up on the top rope, I'm like, he wrestled Primo in a dark match before Raw a couple weeks ago. And if him and Primo go to the top rope, just watch. And when he hit that, like, backwards Russian leg sweep looking thing, I don't even know what the hell they're calling it, her jaw hit the floor. And so I think there were tremendous high spots in that match that made up for Primo's botches.
If only he didn't botch the finish. Ugh.
Yeah.
The first thing you can do, I mean, if you're gonna get one spot right the entire match, it's gotta be the finish.
Hell, I went back and was watching old matches yesterday on WWE.com because I have the on-demand subscription through them. And I was watching the CM Punk John Morrison match from a pay-per-view. I think it was SummerSlam when they wrestled for the ECW title. And this'll tell you how long ago it was. Joey Styles and Taz were on commentary for ECW.
That was 06, I believe, right?
So there, John Morrison is up on the top rope, and Punk climbs up there to hit some sort of, I think he was going for a Hurricanrana or something. And Morrison shoves him off, and then like climbs down off the turnbuckle and does this lazy like roll up and can't even hit the middle rope to put his feet on the ropes. It was one of the worst botches I've ever seen of a finish. And Morrison was going over. So, I can't blame Primo too much.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, though. Sorry, Rock.
Alright. Omega, this past week, your favorite diva, Lita, turned 36. What would be your birthday gift to her?
Syphilis test.
Oh, God. What would I get Lita?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That is...
a sterilization room. Decontamination chamber.
Stain-resistant mattress? Jeez. That is hard.
We've stumped Omega.
And the fact that Omega used the line, that is hard, when referencing later.
I know.
The only time that would happen.
I say you stick with Syphilis the home game.
Syphilis the home game. She plays that on a nightly basis. Are you kidding me?
You know, we had a chance to interview Lita at one point. No wonder she never comes on this program.
No kidding. Alright, well, so, Mega, anything? No?
How about you go the nice route and just say a card?
Fine, a card. $100 off at the VD clinic.
You really had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have left well enough alone.
Hey, she has to go there every week, okay?
That's where I say we move on. Spug, what in your opinion is the most controversial wrestling couple of all time? Who are they?
Most controversial wrestling couple?
Yes.
Now, are we talking like storyline couples or legitimate in the back?
Either one.
Mark Henry and Mae Young.
For the hand.
Billy and Chuck.
Honestly, I'd have
to... Macho Man and Stephanie.
Ooh. 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 And that makes up for his Lita comment.
Honestly, I have to go with Jarrett and Karen Angle. Because one, Jarrett's the sort of the boss of that company.
The founder, yes.
Yeah, the founder. And two, you know, what a way to fuck over a top star you bring in by taking his fucking wife. That just... I've never liked Jarrett. I think Mike Graham said it best. In the fall of WCW, you had a guy who smashed a billion guitars and never drew a dime. So, I just... To me, that's one of the more controversial things in a bad way.
Okay.
There's a time I actually miss seeing Jeff Jarrett. I want to go back to those times.
Alright, Mace. If you could lead a stable named after a fruit, what fruit would you name your stable after and why?
Name it after a fruit?
It's a fruit question. It's relevant.
It's
you
relevant.
You can't say apple.
Can't use apple.
He'd be called the Kiwis.
I'm not from New Zealand.
Not New Zealand, yeah.
The kumquats. Go with kumquat. Nothing is quite as fearsome as a kumquat.
Funniest word in the English language.
Perhaps a grapefruit? You could squirt them in the eye and it would burn for a little bit.
No, Vince already has a grapefruit in his stable.
Oh.
Mace?
Oh, I've got one, but I don't want to say it.
Say it! Say it!
No, because I've also thought of the situation, that no.
Say it!
This will get us in trouble.
Say it!
Say
oh, yeah, syphilitic lead-up won't get us in trouble. Say it!
Alright, but you asked for this. You take R-Truth, Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh no.
Ron Simmons.
Oh god!
Ahmed Johnson, and you call them the watermelons.
Oh, oh my god!
Oh. I told you!
God!
Can we get Jamal to be their manager? I just wonder.
Wow.
Oh, that's cute. You fuckers, I warned you, yet no! You wanted to fucking push it.
I think blackberries would have been less offensive.
if Jamal's listening, I'm going to get an angry post on his ass.
I don't think he's listening, but we should...
Jamal his ass off.
We should clip it and let him hear it on Tuesday. But we usually Yikes. just have three questions, two questions for each of you guys, but we have an extra question for everyone to give their answer, and it's kind of Mace's question. Who makes worse jokes, Joey Styles or Tim Stein? It's open to anyone.
Joey Styles has made me laugh.
Mace.
You know what? Only because of what he said to me recently, I'm gonna go with Tim Stein, because at least Joey Styles comes up with new jokes.
Spike, you have an opinion?
Who makes worse jokes?
Yes.
Tim Stein.
There you go. That would be our quick hits for the evening, folks.
Enjoy your new group, the Watermelons.
We need to put the...
Oh, God.
Rock, get to photoshopping.
And you wonder why I don't promote this show. Gee, I wonder.
You should.
You should promote the show after you go watch Roots Backwards. The Green Mile Backwards.
I'm going to... Yeah, that's the scary thing. I might do that. I might do it, and do it in a way that makes other people laugh at it.
Why is Will posting stuff about Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Because it's better than TNA?
At least he's not posting about penis size again.
This is true. What Tuesday night, we have OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik. I believe we have Sean Oliver on the show.
Yes, we shall have Sean Oliver on OWW Radio this week. If you want to pre-record any questions so we can treat it like one of his goddamn news shoots, then make sure you have a strobing light behind you that causes your eyes to bleed.
By the way, I just want to say congratulations to Will McConnell on being Employee of the Month.
He really, really was.
Walmart.
Wednesday Night Geeks.
Welcome to Walmart. Get your shit and get out.
Wednesday Night Geeks. What are you guys talking about?
I have no idea.
Tune in for Geek Speak.
I'm laughing too much. We'll come up with it later, as always.
As always, last minute preparation. We're talking to talk live.
That's why you tune into OTL. You never know what we're going to do.
Same CBA midnight or Saturday night. When's the next UFC? On the
30th?
30th. Alright, so on the 30th.
St. Pierre versus Jake Shields.
That should be good. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Wrestle Talk Radio. You'll have maybe a Canadian back. Who knows?
I hope not. The show went so much better without him.
Tonight was good. I just worry how the TNA talk would have gone with him.
Horrible. We'd still be talking TNA right now, but we're done. Later, people.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
Watermelons!
Oh my god, we're gonna get so many hate emails. I want for my machine.